You are here for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Ira Kaufman, and he is presented by Bill Curry Ford. 61 years, Tampa's first family of Ford, still family-owned, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Get to BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help you personally, and that's not a joke, BillCurryFord.com.
I still can't believe what we're experiencing. They went for that bright, shiny object. Let's win the damn division. You mean to tell me he's worried about his job? I'm a dangerous man, and shut up.
Ira, it's May. You get home from playing tennis. You come home. You go in the garage, and oh, my gosh, you got a flood in there. You got mold already. What do you do?
Florida's Elite Restoration. You call them before you call your insurance company if you have any concerns, any issue. And on the topic of mold, gentlemen, somebody was telling me that they were going to sell their house, and the inspector guy came out and so I said, what's the first thing they look for? What's the first thing these guys look at? You know what he said immediately? Water damage. Water damage. When you're trying to sell your house, if you have water damage that you haven't repaired, that's a killer. It's going to make it very difficult, or it's really going to knock down the value of your home. There's a lot of factors in terms of mold that you have to get it done quickly and efficiently. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Josh Martin and his team at Florida's Elite Restoration, they're a good sized company, but not too big to give you personal service. They cover the Tampa Bay area. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Put it in your favorites and then you have it whenever you need them. Yeah. Buccaneers fans, May is here. The NFL draft is exciting as hell. The Bucs have new players, and we're here to talk about it right here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. 61 years taking care of Tampa like nobody's ever seen before. BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping there. And here he is. He's stepping in now. He's slimming down after his escapades the other night. He is the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, of course, the King of Newport Richie, the Custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. Ira, we are fired up. You know, there's always some new listeners after the draft. People get re-excited, re-energized. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper, of course, of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And everyone can listen to all the podcasts all the time at joebucksfan.com, but also at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podcast Addict, Podbean, wherever. Holy crap, we got a quarterback, we got some other action. How do you feel your draft predictions went so far, Ira, and all your gut feelings?
First of all, Steve, despite a slight diversion at Burns Steakhouse, I'm back being lean and mean. I'm lean and mean. I'm back to where I was before Bill Curry Ford GM Sean Sullivan took us out to Burns. And so I'm back. I'm back on the scale. I'm a dangerous man. I wouldn't say svelte, but I'm getting there. And as far as the draft is concerned, the train keeps rolling for Jason Light. It keeps rolling. And I just came up with this. You know, it is now rough to rank the greatest offseason in franchise history. I offer you three options, gentlemen. 1995, Sapp and Brooks. Tough to beat. 2019, Tom Brady. Enough said. And 2020, bringing everybody back, making some nice draft picks, adding, Tim Brown and Giovanni Bernard on top of the birthday cake. Lee, the train keeps rolling, and my first impression is I think they took advantage of their situation. I don't think they were overwhelmed with picks to move down, so they stood their ground. And by what I mean is, Lee, they took kind of developmental players, not plug and play, which they normally would take guys, you know, that are 3-4 year starters. They didn't do that, Lee. You know how many starts Joe Tryon has? 12. 12 freaking starts. Joe Tryon. He's their first draft pick. You know why, Lee? Because they don't need him right away. They don't need him. They're going to turn him over to a very good coaching staff that has already proven what they can do with a guy like Shaq Barrett, who nobody heard of 2 years ago. And here comes Joe Tryon. Develop, Lee, develop. Develop Tryon, develop Trask. And I think out of the three, Hainsey's probably the most plug-and-play available right now.
Well, before we get rolling here, Ivor, we got to make something clear. The Bucs did not re-sign Tim Brown. They re-signed Antonio Brown.
Not Antonio Brown. You're right.
No, Bucs fans, they didn't. They're not bringing Tim Brown out of mothballs. It was Antonio Brown.
Thank you for that.
I don't know how you could rank an offseason higher than when they signed Brady, because that was the domino effect. They got Brady and everything, literally everything fell into place. As great as an offseason Light has had this offseason, and it may be the best, if you're talking about bringing back your starters and impact starters and winning starters, there may not have been a better offseason. However, all that doesn't happen without signing Brady the previous offseason. So I'll have to go with Brady. As far as the Bucs draft try-on, hey, no one's happier than Sean Sullivan, our resident draft guru, general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He said on your very podcast, Ira, the Bucs would draft Joe Tryon, and they did. So, and there's another player the Bucs drafted over the weekend. Sean Sullivan is fired up that the Bucs drafted Robert Hainsey out of Notre Dame. He started 34 games. Notre Dame has turned into a pretty damn good program. You start 34 games for that program, and they've, in recent history, they've got a hell of a track record for producing offensive linemen. You're doing something right. This guy went to the Senior Bowl, never played guard before in his life, never played center before in his life. They threw him into the fire, and he was not embarrassed. And that sold Light, who's got a track record himself of selecting good offensive linemen.
The temper, that last point is the most important point. Steve, without that Senior Bowl and without that display of versatility, which he didn't get to show in South Bend, I don't think Hainsey is a Buck in the third round. They probably wait, see if they can get him in the fourth round. The fact that he's versatile, Steve, I think that sold Light and the scouts that he's one of these guys that you can plug in up and down the line. And, you know, with Jensen in mind, we will see. No guarantee Jensen's a Buck in 2022. Steve, mm-hmm. The Senior Bowl was very important for Hainsey in terms of him being drafted by the Bucs.
Ira, first, I just got to say, I love how you called what you did at Burns on Monday a slight diversion. That's got to be the understatement of the year, Ira.
Well, when I came home, my wife asked me, how'd you do? I said, I thought I did well. I drank water. You know, everybody else got Chivas Regal over there and a beer. And she said, how did it start? I said, lobster bisque and French onion soup. She said, you failed. She didn't even wait around for the lobster drenched in butter, DeKemper. She didn't even wait.
Part of the ice cream.
I called it a slight diversion, Steve, so you caught me on that. But, Steve, do you agree with how important that Senior Bowl was to Hainsey?
Well, I don't want to talk about Hainsey yet. Come on. I don't want to talk about him yet. I'm not ready for that yet. I want to go earlier in this draft, Ira. And, you know, let me just say a slight diversion, Ira. That's, you know, like a king-size Reese's Cup. You got four of them in there. You went overboard. Not what you did, Sage. All right. As we said, kudos to Sean Sullivan, our draft guru, who's also the big boss at Bill Curry Ford. He nailed a lot of picks. He nailed the Bucs pick, not only as what they would do, but what he wanted them to do. So it was like a double shot of ecstasy for Sean Sullivan. And you can reach out to him directly for any vehicle need situation you have. If you need body work, give him a call. Bill Curry Ford Body Shop. You know how I drive, Ira. I've used that before. We learned last podcast, 50 master service technicians, the most in the Tampa area. So anything you need, they're going to be able to do it. And of course, get to BillCurryFord.com to start shopping. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And you can just ask Sean for help anytime you want. He will help you. End of story. Like you have a brother in the car business, ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. That's going to get you quite a bit. Now, Ira, Joe Tryon, okay? You were looking for them to trade down. They didn't trade down. You were almost demanding them to trade down. They didn't trade down. I was saying they should trade up. You know, get aggressive in there. I thought they would do it. They didn't do it. They stayed patient. And Lee was kind of looking at, don't do the defensive end because he might not be able to make the most impact. So we were sort of wrong, even though we're all happy that they got the edge rusher. This guy is a bit of a project in some ways, even though physically he's not 6'5", 260. Arians loves his motor, was just gushing over the guy. Do you get the feeling, Ira, that they got their guy?
I do, Steve. And I don't think they were overwhelmed with offers to move down because I think they were open to do it. But they're not going to do it just to do it and pick up a sixth-round pick. That's foolish. Tryon was on their list. You know, there were four or five guys on their list that they thought might be available in the late stages of round one, and he was one of them. I don't think Steve is wrong, Lee, and Buck fans may not want to hear it, but I don't think Steve's wrong to call him a bit of a project, Lee. He's got 12 starts. He didn't play last year. He has to work on his moves, which, you know, that's not a killer in the pros. You know why, Lee? Because they got a damn good coaching staff. And if they had the coaching staffs, the dreck that they've pushed through one Buck place in previous regimes, Lee, I'd be a lot more worried about Joe Tryon because I don't think they could get him ready for the pros. He's not ready, Lee. Doesn't mean he can't get 10 snaps a game this fall. But, you know, he's not polished. And to think he's going to go around, you know, Saints All-Pro right tackle Ryan Ramczyk as soon as they play the Saints, I mean, that's folly. He's got to develop some counter moves because, Lee, you've said it before, rookie pass rushers that only rely on the outside bursts, the speed, you know, they get stymied. Hello, Noah Spence. Hello. Hello, Daquan Bowers. Hello. You got to be more than that, Lee. And I think Tryon has a chance. He's got skills to develop. And now he's Casey Rogers' project. Let's see what happens.
Well, Ira, you're way out of bounds here. You got to calm down. We don't know if he's not ready or not. We have no clue. Not that I know what the hell I'm looking at, but I've seen him play against this Penny, the first-round draft pick that the Lions had, the offensive tackle. He did okay against him. So, I mean, we're talking about pure apples versus apples. He didn't embarrass himself against a guy who was, what, seventh overall pick in the draft? Didn't embarrass himself at all. Matter of fact, he did quite well. So, and if you look at his last six games, he produced very much. Now, I know he didn't play last year. Light mentioned almost by accident, Light said, well, he tried to come back, but it was too late to return to Washington because the Pac-12, they initially said no football this year. Then when the Big Ten decided to backtrack, they backtracked. It was a mess. College football was a mess last year. I can't definitively say he can't play at all. And you mentioned Noah Spence. Hell, his best season was his rookie year. What, do you have six sacks, seven sacks? The same with Claiborne. So I can't sit here and say there's no way he's ready for the NFL, that he's a practice squad guy, blah, blah, blah. I can't say that. I don't expect him to be on the field much at all because of, number one, it's an established fact. I know Steve wrote that to the contrary, but it's an established fact in the history of the NFL. Rookies don't have much of an impact. You know, when I call impact, I'm talking 10-plus sacks a year, like the Bosa boys. Rookie pass rushers rarely have that kind of impact in the NFL. And he's playing behind Shaq. He's playing behind JPP. So I don't expect much from him. But I can't sit here right now and say, this guy, there's no way in hell he should be on an NFL roster.
You're not listening to what I'm saying, DeKemper. You need to get
up. You're saying he's not ready, right? You're saying he's not ready. If he's not ready, that means he can't be on the field. And I can't say that.
Well, you're saying I say he'll never be on the field. I mean,
well, this year I'm talking about.
The guy has very, very limited experience. Very limited. Didn't play last year. That counts. That counts.
Who else has limited experience? Kyle Trask. Yet they drafted him. They didn't have any problem.
Kyle Trask is an elite talent. Joe Tryon is not.
I don't know about elite.
So, okay. If Joe Tryon's an elite talent, he doesn't last to 32. Now, you know that.
Trask lasted to 64.
Yeah, he's not an elite talent. I thought you were talking about Pitts. Pitts is an elite talent. But anyway, what I'm saying is Tryon needs to be developed, Lee. He's not pro-ready. Doesn't mean it's a bad draft pick. But the guy's got 12 starts.
To me, when you say he needs to develop, that tells me he doesn't belong on the field. I can't say that.
I don't expect much out of Joe Tryon. To me, the over-under on a sack total will be three. Three. You can interpret that any way you want. You want to weigh in on this dispute, Isbitz?
Yeah. I'm going to put the over-under at 4.5 because I just think he should do better, especially a 17-game season. And look, he's got to beat out Anthony Nelson. He should be able to do that. And if he can do that, then it's a win for 2021. There's your upgrade. Anthony Nelson played, you know, 25% of the snaps through the year. He made one start for Shaq. It didn't play too well. But if he can be that third guy, then it should be an upgrade, and he should be able to get 3, 4, 5 sacks. And if he's hot, they're not going to take him off the field. You know, like Lee said, you know, Noah Spence got 5.5 that first year. A bunch of other guys have got. Look at Marcus Davenport. He played like a third of the time on a good defensive line that first year, and they were happy with him. He got 4.5 sacks. You know, he hit the quarterback. Oh, why can't Tryon do that here? I'm going to put it a little bit higher, Ira, than that. But I know what you're saying. He has to be developed. I think where I'm going to take the gray area here between you and Lee, I see him being developed in the season. So I don't think he's going to be necessarily a force out of the gate. But you know what? By November, he might start really coming on, maybe getting a little more snaps and settling in and learning the film each week. So I'm going to agree with both of you in a sense. And I got to throw one thing out here because you guys know how fearful I am, even though it's kind of silly right now, but I'm just genuinely fearful of Todd Bowles ever being the head coach of this team because he was such a horrible head coach with the Jets, and you can't just throw that away. And I got to say, Casey Rogers, he was the commander of that Bowles defense, and they had a horrible pass rush with the Jets because Rogers wasn't defensive line coach. He was in charge there. So I lost some of my respect for his body of work when he just ran the Jets defense in the ground. And by all means, they quit. And he was the defensive coordinator. And so I got to throw my hat to Larry Foote. He's the guy who will be coaching up Tryon, even by the NFL rules, because the Bucs don't want to ever end up claiming like they had their problem with Shaq that he's really a 4-3 defensive end because he's coached by the defensive end coach. So they pretty much stick to that. It's Larry Foote who coaches the outside linebackers, and he seems to be pretty good at it. So Tryon, I like the pick. Arians is talking about him dominating on special teams early. It's like, do we really need a first-round pick getting ready to you know, bust his knee out on special teams? I don't know if I like that very much. And that tells me he's not necessarily some sort of elite boy. We got a top 15 pick at 32 if they're going to let him run down on kick returns. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, we got to remember this, Lee. We got to have perspective here. And going into the draft Thursday night, the three of us, we really didn't think even the first round pick, if they stuck at 32, was going to play a major role for the 2021 Bucks. I mean, we didn't have any great illusions about it. They could get a corner. Maybe the guy could be the fourth corner or whatever. But, you know, they're not going to beat out Shaq and JPP. And as a matter of fact, Arians already said it. He's already said it. That's not going to happen. But they could get hurt. They could get hurt. It's a depth piece. No question about it. You know, give them a breather. But, Lee, we were certainly under no impression that they were going to get an impact rookie at 32.
My gosh. Though I don't think it's ever happened with the Bucks, has it? No, it couldn't have. I mean, your first-round pick, he's going to be a part-time player. Every other year, it's like, we need this guy to have an impact. This year, it's like,
right.
Special teams.
And I want to throw my two cents in on Sean Sullivan because, Steve, you're right. He said Joe Tryon, and he said it 72 hours or more before the Bucks picked him. So he didn't come in late to the party. He could have picked a lot of guys, and he said Joe Tryon. He was one happy man when they picked him.
Yeah. I want to clear some things up for our folks that were out at the draft party at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. What a great time that was. We'll talk about that, Sage. But we did a pick the pick contest, as we mentioned, a pick the pick. So you got to fill in who the Bucks are taking at 32. There was a tiebreaker of how many wide receivers would be drafted in the first round. And then a second tiebreaker of how many draft picks the Buccaneers would take in total in the draft, 2021 draft. So thankfully, we did not have to go to the third tiebreaker. And this was serious business because the grand prize was a $300 Amex gift card from Florida's Elite Restoration, the number one disaster company, restoration company in the Tampa Bay area. So Florida's Elite Restoration threw up the $300 for the big prize, and we do have a winner. There is a winner. Our 9 fans of the roughly 80 or so that actually filled out the sheets, 9 of them hit Joe Tryon, but only one hit the tiebreaker. I'm not going to give his last name. I don't really have permission for that, but William R. out of St. Pete, congrats to you. I've already reached out. And the interesting thing is, the irony, if you will, he's in the car business. So it's a striking gold for the auto guys.
You know what's interesting about that, Lee? Is 9 guys picked Joe Tryon. You got to think, Lee, it's not a stretch to think more than one of those people that picked Joe Tryon picked them based on what Sean Sullivan said in the podcast, Lee. I think it's very interesting. Very interesting.
Actually, Ira, I can verify because I did pick up the sheets, and 2 people told me that they're going with Sullivan.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Wow.
It's verifiable. Wow. So, Ira, you know, we had this great time. Everybody drinking Big Storm beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, Florida's best craft beer. Summer's really starting to kick in. You can load up on Big Storm beer at their tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, Orlando, and Cape Coral. And we just had a great time. Thanks for Big Storm for being great hosts. We legitimately had a full house, which was a lot of fun. I'm glad, frankly, that we didn't have an overflow crowd because I didn't want anyone to be upset. So it worked out. Mike Allstott came out, which was great. He was taking pictures with fans. I actually ran into a couple of fans, Ira, who were upset that they didn't get to meet you. They couldn't find you. They were busy. They had to leave a little bit on the earlier side. So, you know, and we also had a guy and his son drove in from Gainesville. I talked to them. That was really cool, up from Sarasota. Wow. So they came in. And, of course, a lot of locals. And I'll tell you a little funny nugget, Ira. There was one of our listeners, I think it was his girlfriend, not sure, but he was there and with a young lady who was, I don't know, in her 20s. And I guess he had told her that Mike Allstott was there and pointed or something. And not being a huge football fan, she thought I was Mike Allstott. And like 45 minutes later, roughly, or half an hour later, she kind of asked to take my picture and sort of like maybe like take a selfie kind of thing. And anyway, we sort of sorted out that I'm not Mike Allstott. Thankfully, I didn't take the picture. I could just see that on social media here with Mike Allstott at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. So I hope you had a good time, Ira. It looked like you did.
It was great. I was sitting at the table with Mike and Sean Sullivan and Joe from Bill Curry Ford, and Zach the intern showed up, and Lee came, and Steve, and you know, a lot of familiar faces. Great Buck fans show up at these things. It's great to see these people. We had a great time, and I stuck it out till the bitter end. Sean Sullivan, bitter end. It was a great time by all, and the staff did a great job, the Big Storm staff.
It was a fun night, Ira.
Ira, Kyle Trask. Buccaneers got their quarterback. They stayed patient. You could see on the board that you got to a point very early in the second round, and it was like, well, none of these teams are going to take a quarterback. They're all kind of set, and, you know, of course, 5 quarterbacks went in the first round, and the Bucs held their ground for a guy they said that they were debating taking in round 1, and they did it. They took him. They pulled the trigger. I think this is exciting as hell, Ira. I think it's fun as hell, and I'm big on fun. You know, sorry, this is still entertainment. Having a quarterback, you know, everybody loves the backup quarterback. Even if it's 2-3 years down the road, that speaks of maybe a quarterback controversy or just factions of Bucks fans. I love all the drama. But it also made preseason this year a hell of a lot more interesting. They're celebrating over at Channel 8 where they can't believe people are going to be tuning in to watch Kyle Trask's debut. The Jameis debut in preseason was one of the biggest top-rated shows or top-rated sporting events in the Tampa Bay area years ago. You know, Trask won't have the same impact as Jameis as far as preseason ratings, but it might be pretty close. So it's a fun time. And Ira, do you think he's going to be the backup quarterback on opening day?
I do not. I do not. God forbid Brady twists his ankle. Week 1, we don't know who the opponent will be, but the Bucs will kick off the season. And I know Lee says, well, they may not get a home game, but they're going to be in the game, Lee. And they will be the, you know, one of the two teams that start the 2021 NFL season when the games count. And I think whoever they're playing, I don't think Arians would be comfortable with a rookie quarterback, especially one taken with the 64th pick in the draft. It wasn't like they moved up to number six and took the guy. I don't think Arians would be comfortable in that scenario. I think Blaine Gabbert's coming back, guys. I think Gabbert's coming back somehow, some way. You know, he was out at the UFC event with Brady a week ago. That's a pretty strong sign Gabbert's coming back. You know what the trash pick shows, Lee? You know what it shows? Again, it's nice to be able to stick to your board, Lee. Is Trask the guy that was still on the board that might be able to help you the most in 2021? Probably not. Probably not in 2021. But he was probably considered the best player available at that time, regardless of position. So they took him. And they tipped off Brady ahead of time because they were thinking about this for a couple of weeks. And you can't knock the pick, but you know, he's got his limitations. He's been compared to Brad Johnson. I'm surprised Light doesn't like to make those comparisons normally. He doesn't. He doesn't like to mention other guys and pros that this guy reminds him of. He doesn't do that very often. Buck fans know Brad Johnson for one reason, Lee. He was the quarterback of a Super Bowl champion. Of course, they had a fantastic defense. Historic. This defense is not at that level. Not yet. But it's damn good. I can't knock the pick, Lee. But it shows again, I think, that Light stuck to his board, unlike other years when he let need press in there too much. And he admits it. That's when he made mistakes.
A couple things about the Brad Johnson comparison. And this is just the dynamic fans versus professional NFL evaluators. They don't like to make comparisons for a couple reasons. One of which is they don't want to set up the player for failure.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden you're comparing a guy to someone who won a Super Bowl for the very same franchise he was drafted for. In a lot of ways, that's not fair for the guy being drafted. But fans, I'm not saying all NFL, especially where we live. You know, college football is very popular. So, but then everybody watches college. Steve's a perfect example. So fans want to know, okay, what's this guy like? You know, they want to envision, what is he like? And, you know, that's like the tug of rope. You know, fans wanted to have a comparison. Evaluators do not want to make a comparison. But it's sometimes you got to, you know, hey, fans paid the freight. You got to help them out a little bit. There are some fans on JoeBucksFan.com, the commenters. There are some of them that are like, oh, my God, he's another Brad Johnson. He was horrible. Whoa, 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 whoa. Is he Brady? No, he's not Brady. Brad Johnson will never be Tom Brady. But I seem to recall a quarterback that was in the playoffs quite often with the teams he played for. And, oh, by the way, won a Super Bowl. So if you're saying the result of drafting Kyle Trask will mean five or six playoff appearances and a Super Bowl, I think that's a hell of a bargain for the 64th pick in the draft.
You know, Steve, the Buck fans are quick to forget that in 02, the championship season, Brad Johnson had a hell of a year, Steve. Brad Johnson played his ass off, and he got hurt a little bit towards the end. They let him rest up and recover, and he was ready for the postseason. And he played the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Raiders. And the Buck offense at the end of that year, it was damn good. And Brad Johnson was leading the way. So let's not knock Brad Johnson.
Ira, let me throw this out at you. Back in November of 2013, a young man, strapping young man named Mike Glennon, was the NFL Rookie of the Month. And the brass seemed to think he was ready to be a backup as a third rounder. You don't think Kyle Trask can beat out Blaine Gabbert? What the hell's going on here, Ira? I think the kid can do it. I'm rooting for him to win it.
I think so because Arians makes the call. Yeah, Leftwich doesn't make that kind of call. Arians is going to make that call, and Arians should make that call. Not the Glazers, not Clyde Christensen, Arians. And for whatever reason, Lee, and you've heard me on this podcast, and I know I might be crying in the wilderness, I don't see the Blaine Gabbert love affair. I don't see it, but I'm not making the call. And Arians likes the guy, and Arians trusts the guy, and I don't see Kyle Trask getting ahead of Gabbert if they re-sign Gabbert. I don't see it. Steve, I want to say this about Trask, too. Just like any draft pick, guys, just like any pick, if you're looking for reasons not to take Kyle Trask, you can find them. You can find them. He's not mobile, and he's not going to go to the NFL and become mobile. And he had great weapons, two outstanding weapons. And Pitts was fantastic, you know, and the wide receiver was a first-round pick. Let's not forget that. A lot of SEC secondaries, you know, couldn't cover these guys, and they're open. So you can, if you want to hold out against Kyle Trask, the guys are always open. You can say that about him. I like the Bill Belichick theory, Lee, and you do too. Tell me what the guy can do. And if you want to talk about what he can do, there's plenty to talk about.
Yeah, you know, someone had to get those guys the ball.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to see it. That's the fun part. He's going to play a lot in training camp. And there's three preseason games where they're going to probably look to give him a ton of work. And, you know, hopefully there's some spark there. Otherwise he's probably going to disappear until next summer. That's the goal. We never want to see him on the field, but I'm looking forward to having some fun with it. Sage, Robert Hainsey, okay, we mentioned him early. Looks like a center guard, but he was a four-year starter at Notre Dame, a right tackle, which they've got to be very pleased. I read he didn't allow a penalty last year in 800 and something snaps at Notre Dame.
Big.
Which is stunning, really. It doesn't matter where you're playing or who you're playing for. And also, I think he only allowed two sacks. So consistent guy, probably a smart guy, probably well-coached guy. And, you know, this is really the region where they got Alex Kappa, who was a lot more green, maybe a little more angry, a little more talented. But Hainsey seems like, somebody who's going to be a perfect kind of backup role. I expect him to make the team. I don't think this is the vibe I got, you know, because we know a lot of guys won't make the team. The vibe I got is that they're really going to make sure that, and he makes the team because they're that high on him. Do you get that feeling, Ira?
I absolutely agree with you on that, Steve. And, again, I think the versatility, which wasn't known till the Senior Bowl, if he was only known as a right tackle, I don't think the Bucs take him at the end of the third round. So I think Hainsey is still in the draft, going into the third day of the draft. The fact, you know, when you have a backup, Lee, a backup offensive lineman, you can only dress so many on Sunday. The fact that you can plug the guy in at two or maybe even three positions, the interior and the tackles and center, that's a huge advantage for the player. That means he's going to dress on Sunday. And I'm with Steve. Hainsey's going to make this team. He's going to knock somebody out of a job. Somebody. But he was not drafted strictly to be a tackle, Lee. Absolutely was not drafted just to be a tackle.
If a rookie third-round pick, especially, what, 95 they were picking, if he bounces someone from the roster, that guy probably didn't belong on the roster to begin with.
Yeah.
All right, Ira. You know. Now, your podcast, of course, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, that's your man, BillCurryFord.com. As we heard earlier, thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. That's who you call, your first phone call. Anytime you have mold in your house, they're licensed mold remediation specialists. Any kind of disaster, that's your first call. They'll help you with the insurance process if that's what it takes. And, of course, it's free. They'll come out and assess what's happening in your time of crisis so you can feel calm, cool, and collected. And Big Storm Beer, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Live music out there on the patio, Ira, every Friday and Saturday night in Clearwater. You can check the schedule, but it's always there. And I think you need to take your beautiful wife out there.
Can I suggest maybe Bette Midler's Greatest Hits? Maybe a little Eddie Van Halen for you, Lee. That might work.
That's a little more. That's a little more contemporary. Yeah,
it's a little bit of a more fun young crowd out there, Ira. But you can bring Cosmo, as you saw. Coach Combs was out there, brought his beautiful puppy, and so you can bring Cosmo out there if he can stay calm. I know you don't know how to train a dog.
I am so jealous of that puppy that Coach Combs brought out. I mean, so calm, you know, sitting by your legs over there. And Cosmo gets one look at the Kemper, over at Big Storm, and it's all over. You know, you don't need those kind of problems. You don't need that.
Ira, we've got day three of the draft, so we're going to have another podcast after day three of the draft, so we can wrap up the whole thing, but we wanted to get into these first three picks. Since the lesser picks, you know, even less of a chance of an impact, we wanted to knock this thing out, talk about the big themes, and we'll get to the rest of the draft and how Arians and Light sum it up. But, Sage, I'm going to ask you this. Around the league, around the NFL, Ira, what you saw from the first three rounds of the draft, anything surprise you? Anything stun you about the division? The Saints drafted two guys on defense out of the gate. There was no weapons for Winston call in New Orleans. And, of course, the Falcons did exactly what you said they wouldn't do, which is not draft. They didn't go quarterback, and Carolina made its share of moves. Your thoughts on the league draft as a whole?
You know, I'm looking at Atlanta at number four. They had so many ways they could go, Lee. You know, you never want to be in the top five, so, you know, they could have went quarterback. They could have. They could have taken Justin Fields. So what do they do, Lee? I think they do a loser pick. Not that Pitts isn't going to be very good. He'll be very good at the pro level. Carlton Davis and the guys and Lavonte David aren't happy that they might be, you know, asked to try to cover this guy. And, you know, this guy could be another Travis Kelce, which is a little scary. But we've said it many times on this podcast, and Atlanta might be example one. If you're lousy in the trenches, you're not going anywhere. And they don't have a good pass rush. In fact, it's really bad. They got Grady Jarrett, pretty good player, but they don't have any edge rushers. They've blown that in the draft. They've made lousy draft picks. Guys, Vic Beasley, other guys that have not worked out in terms of edge rushers. Their offensive line, Lee, it's not very good. And you know, my point is, what good is Pitts going to be doing, you know, getting a step on Lavonte David if Matt Ryan's on his ass? So Atlanta did not address the trenches. They didn't take their quarterback of the future. They went for that bright, shiny object. You know, maybe Arthur Blank had a little hand in that. Hey, let's go get Pitts and sell some tickets. And ultimately, Lee, I'm not worried about the Atlanta Falcons. The Saints, I think, could take a big step back to the 8-8. This division is Tampa's to lose. The odds makers say it. The Vegas boys, they usually know what they're doing. And in my little discussion with Bruce Arians a few weeks ago, Lee, at his kitchen table, when I said, hey, you're thinking about going 17-0? He goes, let's win the damn division and get a home field playoff game, because as he said, rightly so, home field is going to mean more this year than it did in 2020. And I think he's absolutely right. So all Arians is thinking about is winning this NFC South. Lee, and when you stack up the Panthers, you know, that defense is still mighty young, and the quarterback is unproven. This division, you know, it's got Tampa Bay written all over it, Lee.
Oh, I agree with that. As far as the Falcons, I could hear every person at Bellyache's best player available screaming at you, Ira. I mean, every person I know that covered the draft predicted Pitts to be the first non-quarterback off the board, that apparently he's that transformative. And as Jason Light has proven, you can get good offensive linemen in the second and third round. You won't be able to get a Kyle Pitts in the second and third round. And you pair Pitts with Julio Jones, that's dynamic. Let's hope for it. Well, I'm not a Falcons fan, so yes, I hope he turns into O.J. Howard. He's all hype, no substance. But if he is as good as what people claim he is, that's a dynamic passing combination. And again, you can get good offensive linemen later in the draft. You can't get a Pitts later in the draft. But I got to say this about the Bucs and Jason Light. I'm watching the second round unfold last night. I wanted Nick Bolton. I wasn't real huge about getting a center, but I know, you know, Ryan Jensen, it's a question mark after this year. I like the Oklahoma center. I like the Ohio State center. And the run on centers happened right before the Bucs drafted. I was hoping they'd trade up and get a center, hoping they'd trade up and get Bolton. All three of those guys went off the board right before the Bucs drafted. And then I thought to myself, you know what? Jason Light deserves the benefit of the doubt. Look at the team he has built. He deserves the benefit of the doubt. While I didn't particularly like what he did, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. So I'm not going to gripe.
Lee, I think the Chiefs took two of those guys.
Yes, they did. The Oklahoma center and Nick Bolton. Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. And they were picking right before the Bucs, Lee.
Sage, let me say this about Atlanta. Not that I agree with their mindset, but I think some of the thought process in Atlanta, just a thought, is that, okay, the Panthers just ditched their quarterback. They've got first-year Sam Darnold in there, and he's not that good. And Drew Brees is done, and Jameis isn't that good, and who knows what the future is there. And if Tom Brady turns his ankle or gets old or has a shoulder issue or something, we might be able to steal this division. Like, it's still alive. Matt Ryan could be the best quarterback in this division. Maybe even if Brady retires next year, he's the best quarterback in the division. I think there's some of that going on there. Just a thought.
There might be, but they're lousy in the trenches. And that's almost impossible to overcome. Lee, Mahomes had Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce healthy. We saw what happened that night. They were no factors ultimately in that game because they couldn't protect Mahomes. And by the way, Atlanta's pass rush stinks too. Lee.
Oh, yeah. They're bad in the trenches, Ira. Bad in the trenches. I almost had to laugh when they took a safety in the second round. I was like, oh, beautiful. Beautiful. And the lineman they took in the third round is... He doesn't really have a position. He's kind of like maybe a little bit more versatile than Haney.
Mr. Haney, I'm going to start calling him, like Green Acres, you know, with the talking pig. I had sort of an out-of-body experience as a Bucs fan, listening to SiriusXM NFL radio Thursday, late Thursday afternoon. Schefter had that bombshell that still has repercussions and reverberations all over the NFL that Aaron Rodgers says he's done with the Packers. That he's floating retirement unless they trade him. And serious NFL people, what I mean by that is guys that are being paid to be on the air with Sirius NFL radio, indirectly are blaming the Bucs for this. That look what Tampa Bay's done for Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers sees that, and he's outraged with the Packers. I mean, it's like, it blows me away. It's like, how weird is that? That people are pointing to the Bucs as the model organization of how to deal with a top-shelf quarterback.
I'm a little tired of Aaron Rodgers carping, to tell you the truth, Lee. I think he should shut his yap. That's what I think. Go back to Jeopardy, you know, and do history for 400 and shut up. You have arguably the best receiver in football. The number one target in football in Devontae Adams. I don't think there's anybody better. You could argue this guy's as good. I don't think anybody's better. They got two good running backs. The offensive line's decent. He's got some tight ends. Shut the hell up, Rodgers. I said on this podcast last year, especially after his meltdown against the Bucs after that pick six, I don't think this guy's got great leadership skills. I think he's showing it again. He's showing his colors again. Would you shut up for 5 minutes? That is not a bad organization. He wants to argue with every draft pick. He's mad about Jordan Love. You mean to tell me he's worried about his job? Just do your job. You're the MVP of the league. Jordan Love's not taking your job. I think if Green Bay's going to be faulted, Lee, it's to this regard. And I give the Bucs credit. They talked to Brady about possibly taking a quarterback, maybe even mentioning Trask. That's what you do, Steve. You mention it. You keep Brady in the loop. Now, if Brady says, I don't want you doing that, you know what? I'm still taking him. Brady ain't running my football team. But you do him the courtesy, and he should get that courtesy. And for that, I fault Green Bay. You know, hey, give Rodgers a heads up that you're going to draft Love. But I think there's more than meets the story. I know the Mad Dog is adamant, Lee, that this has nothing to do with the weapons at his disposal. It's more that he doesn't want to be in Green Bay. You know, his fiance is in the entertainment business. She doesn't want to be in Green Bay. There might be more to the story, but I know what you're saying about the Bucs being the model of how you run things, and that's true. The Bucs have not made a mistake, you know, since Tom Brady came to town. Not one mistake. And it's a remarkable run.
Yeah, how wild is it that sober people and intelligent people are pointing to the Bucs saying, you know, Rodgers sees what's going down in Tampa Bay. And like the Bucs are the model roster-building organization all of a sudden within the last 18 months. Like, wow.
Absolutely. You know, Steve, it reminds me when Vinick bought the Lightning and very quickly changed this franchise. They were a laughing stock, you know, for years, especially, you know, when they had the Japanese ownership. They were a disaster. And then after they won the Cup in 04, they had some lean years after that.
The Cowboys.
And Vinick came in and actually, this started when Bill Davidson took over after the Japanese ownership. And I remember, you know, Gary Bettman said, you know, it's ownership. It's ownership. And to me, I don't know if it's ownership or Brady. I think it all changed when Brady came to town. Lee's right. You know, 95, you can't knock Landon Sapp and Brooks back to back. You can't knock that. But Brady coming to town, that's got to be the number one thing right there in terms of an offseason. Number one.
All right, Sage. Now, look, we are releasing you. Can't wait to read your columns next week. All your insight. I can only imagine all the people you'll be on the phone with interrupting draft rooms across the nation. Sage, would you like to say goodbye to everyone?
I want to say goodbye to Buck Nation. I still can't believe what we're experiencing. I just can't believe how a franchise can turn around in 1 year. I mean, I've never seen it. This is the most remarkable turnaround I've ever seen. From an NFL afterthought, 12-year playoff drought. And now, guys, the Bucs still are leading the draft coverage. When people are talking about the draft, especially day two with the Trask pick, you know, what's the headline? Bucs draft Brady's possible successor. It's always Bucs, Bucs, Bucs. It's always Brady, Brady, Brady. You can't buy this kind of coverage, Lee. Can't buy it.